I'm Angelica, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm freaking out right now. My sobriety date is October 23rd of 2010, and I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who worked the steps out of the big book, as did I. This room is really intimidating to me. Young people were very intimidating to me when I first got sober because I figured I was the sickest young person that was ever to be an alcoholic in the entire world. And I quickly found out that's not true. Anyways, I was born in New Hampshire. I grew up in a bedroom community in a big house. My parents are very educated, and I was brought up very privileged and very sheltered. I can remember going to New York City and seeing a homeless person for the first time, and it's pretty interesting. Anyways, I kind of grew up in a very self-centered way because of how the home I was in, and I just kind of believed I was on top of the world, in the center of the world, and all of the above. I had my first drink when I was either 13 or 14 years old. I stole some wine out of my parents' refrigerator, and I did not get drunk. It was by myself, which is funny that I started drinking by myself right away, because that's certainly how it ended. And I was too afraid to get drunk by myself. The first time I did get drunk, I blacked out, threw up everywhere, woke my parents up, told them a bunch of things that got me in a lot of trouble, and subsequently in therapy. That was day one of drinking for me. It immediately turned into drinking by myself. I would just, 14-year-old kids selling my parents alcohol by myself. Right away, I did not want to drink with other people. I was not a social drinker at all. The only reason I ever drank or used with another human being was because I was using them for their drugs and alcohol, and that's just what it was. I went to a private Catholic high school that was college prep. That was my road. That was the only road I knew. I was going to go to college, and if you had told me when I was 15 years old where I would be in 4 years, I would have told you that was a Lifetime movie, not my life. I went to treatment for the first time my junior year of high school. I was in treatment for 60 days. This is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and I'll respect that. But just to make a point, it was not for alcohol and drugs. It was for a different addiction. But there they first addressed the fact that I had this problem, and they stuck me in substance abuse group, and I got out of there, and I just thought, okay, well, I'm not going to drink and use anymore, because clearly that was a problem. I mean, before I went to treatment, I was drinking by myself at night. That's how I did it. I would, get out a glass. I was 16 years old. I would pour my parents' gin in it and drink and listen to sad music, and I just kind of figured, I knew that wasn't normal, but I knew I was messed up, so I was kind of like, well, this is just how it is, because I'm a sick kid. So I got out, and I said, okay, well, I'm just not going to drink anymore. They suggested AA for the first time, and I didn't take that suggestion. I just figured I wouldn't drink anymore. And then 72 hours later, I'm at my first party, and I'm drinking, and my boyfriend's looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just drinking. I didn't really know there was another option. And it's funny, because my drinking started off really bad, and then after I went to treatment, there were some times when it was actually fun, and there was kind of hope that I could be normal and drink with other people and kind of have that social experience, but it didn't last very long. My senior year, I ended up back in treatment 3 months before I was supposed to graduate high school, and I had already had it planned out, and I was supposed to go to this college in New York as a pre-med student and, doing what I was supposed to do, and I decided to go to treatment again because I needed to, and I just had really hit one of many bottoms until I got to my official bottom. And I couldn't stop drinking in treatment. And that was interesting. Did some really stupid things in treatment as kids who are really hyped up and just really not well. Anyways, I got out and I decided instead of repeating my senior year, I was going to get my GED and go straight to college as a fashion student, which is hilarious because I'm not an artist and I was just doing it to piss off my parents. I had a lot of anger at my parents. I drank at people. That was my, you know, they say, it says in our book that resentment is the number one offender, and it certainly was true for me. Anyways, I ended up going to college in 2009, and it took me a month before I ended up in my first psych ward. And after that, I spent one night at a treatment center, and I signed myself out. And then a couple weeks later, I went back to a different mental hospital, and I signed myself out. And it was really cool, because when you're 18, you can sign yourself out. So you can just kind of sign that form, and you're out. And that was the safe zone for me. At that point, stuff was really bad between my family, and they decided to get me an apartment so that I wasn't living in their home. I did some really bad stuff to them. I was violent towards my parents, and that's just the truth. This is not something I'm proud of, but this is my story. I held a knife to my mom's throat because I was mad at her. And they decided after that was probably not a good idea for me to live in their home anymore. And so they got me an apartment, and it was like heaven. I was like, why didn't I think of this years ago? Because now I can do whatever I want in this place that's, you know, all of mine, and I can just crawl into a hole and just sit here. It was perfect. I couldn't think of anything better, and that's exactly what I did. And that was the year of 2009, which, by God's grace, is hopefully the worst year that I will ever have in my entire life. I went to Lowe's that I didn't know I could go to for drugs and alcohol. My entire life was consumed. I tried to go back to school to restart a semester, and I just couldn't do it, and nothing else mattered except for my addictions. I experienced the Four Horsemen in all of their glory, but I wasn't quite done yet. In November, I was in another mental hospital, and I got back out. And in January, I decided it was time to go to treatment again. It's interesting, looking back at my treatment history, I was always in treatment for my other addiction that I'm in recovery from. But before I would go, it wasn't the eating disorder itself that always knocked me to my knees. It was always drugs and alcohol, and that would get so bad that all of a sudden I would just have to go, and treatment was a vacation for me, and that's the truth. I was very attention-seeking, so I loved the attention, I loved the vacation, lock me up, throw away the key. I would get in there, and it was perfect because I was safe for myself, but I didn't do any inside work, so I would go insane, and I needed the drink, and it's just a horrible cycle. Ugh. Anyways, I was in treatment. I came to Lakeland in January of 2010 for treatment, and I was there until July. While I was in treatment, I was disgusting. I was such a little brat. I was 19 years old, and I thought I was the sickest 19-year-old on the entire planet. I was so unique. Terminal uniqueness was just me. I was the youngest person there. I was the youngest person to have ever been in this many treatment centers. I did this, you did this, I'm worse, you're better, whatever. Anyways, I decided to drink a bottle of vanilla extract while I was in treatment. What I realize now is that normal people are not so desperate to get drunk and leave their horrible brain that they decide to drink a bottle of vanilla extract. That's not a normal thing to do. Nor is breaking into a medicine cabinet, which I did next. And they told me, you ever do something like that again, and we will put you on the street. We don't have a choice. And I thought about it for about, I think maybe it was like a week or two. And I decided that I couldn't not drink, so I chose the street option. Anyways, of course, I showed up at the homeless shelter, and the first thing I did was find somebody who could get where I wanted, and so I left with them, and then somehow ended up living in a hotel. They rescued me from the street and put me in a hotel to do outpatient, and I promised I would never, ever, ever do it again, and I got on my knees, and I thanked God, and I told him I would never drink again, I would never use again, everything was going to be different. 72 hours later, I'm drinking wine from the Marriott hotel bar. Completely powerless. That was just it for me. I would make all the promises in the world, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stop. That summer, I hit my bottom. Before, I had always kind of lost it. That summer, I really cracked insanity in ways that I didn't know, and it's absolutely terrifying to me. My second to last drunk, I had gotten into a bathtub and was in a blackout, and for some series of events, I got Baker acted, and so I was in a bathtub for 30 minutes, and they were banging on the door, and I just kind of jolted. And a couple weeks later, I decided maybe I could do it one more time. And I had one of the worst panic attacks I ever had, and I knew it was over from then on. I didn't come back to AA right away. I had picked up a couple white chips, but I was with somebody who had quite a few years in the program, and she had invited me out to coffee, and she said, "Well, are you sober?" And I said, "Yes, I'm done." And I did mean it. I really was done. And I said, "But I really don't think I need AA because I'm so scared I'll never do it again." And she said, "Well, fear will keep you sober for a little while." And so I decided to go to a meeting. I was very ready to get sober, and that kind of characterized it from the beginning. I got a sponsor probably like a month or two after I came in. I was very out of it. I really belonged in detox, and I, for just some reason, God decided it was just not where I needed to be. But when I woke up, I had a sponsor that was very, and she was kind of like, "This is what you got to do." And I was ready, and God knew I was ready, because she said, "You know, jump," and I said, "How high?" And that's what's worked for me so far in the program, is I've really been able to stay willing throughout, and I really thank God for that, and it's just what it's been. I mean, I was so hopeless that I was willing to do everything, and I just thank God for that, because, I don't know, I was just ready. But, let's see. So, it took me a while to do step one. Being a young person, if anybody is in here young and they're wondering, like, "Oh, you know, you did this and I did this, that was me to a core. I could not decide if I was an alcoholic." And finally, one day, a sponsor who I worked all 12 steps with, somebody said something in a meeting that triggered a horrible reaction in me. And I was always hysterically crying, but this time I was really just overhand. She came over, and I was like, "I'm sure I'm not an alcoholic. I'm making this all up. I'm, you know, an attention whore, and I only am here because you guys like me, and I don't know what's going on." And I did a mini fifth step that night and decided that I was an alcoholic. And that was a really pivotal moment. It was really cool. And I found out that you guys are just like me. All the young people that I thought were, I was so much worse and so different because, I don't know. And so then I was really able to start my journey with the steps. I don't know how much time I have left, but my experience doing the fourth and fifth step was way too ridiculous. My fourth step was a thesis. It was not a fourth step. And my fifth step took weeks and weeks of me telling my sponsor every little thing I've ever done in my entire life, because I'm very anxiety-driven person. And it worked for me in that sense. But, you know, I don't really know. I guess I just have a minute left, so I guess I'll just be done. Yeah.